Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. The writers of the Fallout games have always, whether intentionally or unintentionally, made comments about society, and sometimes even philosophy, in the video games that they've made, in the storylines that they've written, in the character arcs, the situations. And there's something about this setting that, now that I think about it even more, and that's a funny thing to say because I've been doing this podcast for a number of years, but now that I think of it even more, it would be hard to avoid even accidentally making some sort of commentary on situations or concepts like nationalism or fascism or capitalism. And I know that Tim Kaine has specifically said that originally the Fallout creators were not actually writing a commentary on capitalism, but it's something that just, well, it seems like it kind of snuck in anyway. Something about the nature of commenting on our world extrapolated into the future with all of the terrible things that could or might not happen makes it almost impossible not to interpret these things as commentary on our own world. Today's episode, we're digging into another faction from Atlantic City. Probably the faction that I should have covered first, but I decided to cover them last because they are the faction called the Munis, and they represent what happens when the system fails, but then when people stand up and take ownership and try to fix it again. They represent both sides of the human condition, the way that our systems can disguise incompetence, and yet the way that individuals can rise to the occasion. So let's get into it. Let's talk about the Munis. Munis might be a strange sounding name for a faction, and on top of that, faction is kind of not exactly the best description. I mean, it is a Fallout game, and each of the different groups are in their own ways factions, and the Munis are kind of a faction in the same way that the NCR is. The NCR works as a governmental system, a group of individuals who have decided to work together in a style that mirrors more of the old world than the new, although is definitely influenced by the wasteland and the post-bomb world of Fallout. The Munis are very similar in that, because Muni stands for municipal, the municipal government. They are the offshoot of the original governmental system that was running Atlantic City. And that system failed. It was run into the ground, or better yet, it was neglected due to incompetence in the people who ran it. Now, we're going to get into the details, and we're going to talk about Carla Day, the mayor of Atlantic City during the events of the Great War, the one who failed the city. But before we get into that, we have to understand the way the world was before the bombs dropped. And what's scary to me is that the world of Fallout in 2076 isn't too different from our own world. And I think that was always part of the point of this, is that that world, which is roughly 50 years now in our future, originally it was about 70 years in the future, but we're getting closer and closer to that date, is very similar to our own world in a lot of ways. We have a world that is more and more stratified by a distance between the haves and the have-nots, that is filled with corporations and governmental systems that are just overly bloated. Every system is filled with bureaucracy. In our own world, we talk about things like the Peter Principle, which, if you haven't heard of, means, well, it's basically the thing that happens when you are successful and you rise to the level of your own incompetence. Maybe you're good at actually doing the thing that your job requires you to do, and you get a promotion, and now you're managing people who do that thing. And that makes sense because you understand how to do that thing very well, and you succeed at that, and then you get another promotion. And all of a sudden, you are now some management layer multiple steps away from the thing that you are actually an expert at, and you are making decisions about business, but you may have never been trained in business, and all of a sudden, you are now incompetent. But you're not so incompetent that you go back to the positions that you were successful at. You just kind of sit in your own incompetency, doing a mediocre job, and just kind of coasting along. Well, that's a very real thing in our world, and it's something that is mirrored in the world of Fallout, specifically with the government of Atlantic City. The Atlantic City government was being run by Mayor Carla Day. Well, at least that's what people thought, because she was an elected mayor. She's somebody who had run multiple times and maintained her position as the head of that local government. But the system was set up in a way where the majority of the work was being done by the people who ran the individual sections of the government, the people who were managing the money, the people who were managing the resources, the people who were managing the people of Atlantic City. And they were doing such a good job that Carla kept getting reelected because she just didn't get in their way, not because she was particularly a good leader. And this worked well in the pre-war world of Fallout, because she kept her comfy seat as the leader of this community, and people seemed to like her. She made good money, she kept her job, but when things really came down to it, she was not equipped, because she had never been the kind of person who had been in a situation that was as dire as the Great War. And when the Great War happened in Atlantic City, well, it wasn't as tragic as some locations. They didn't get bombed out of existence, but they felt the ramifications of this global war, of nuclear winter, of all the terrible things that happened, flooding, starvation. And when that occurred, Carla Day was not the leader that they needed. She failed to support the people of Atlantic City. And when that happens, during a catastrophic event like the Great War, people die. They starve to death. They become desperate and they turn to whoever is available to help solve their problems in that moment. And guess who was ready to take advantage of that situation as it unfolded? That's right, the mob. They were ready to jump on any moment of weakness by the administration who was supposed to be running Atlantic City, because that's the way the mob always works. They're always trying to skirt the law. They're always trying to work around the current governmental system in order to get as much as they possibly can and to exploit the population. And in a situation like this, they've stockpiled food, they've stockpiled resources, and yet that food and those resources are being mismanaged by Carla Day. And maybe even mismanaged is too much credit. It's more like she just didn't do anything, and the situation kind of devolved into a desperate scenario, a scenario where the mob could swoop in and make their demands, take what they want, and become the unelected ruling power of the city. If this sounds a lot like what happens during certain historical periods where a large governmental system falls apart and you end up with these small despots, these small kingdoms, principalities, city-states that take over, that are led by dictator-like leaders, then you're absolutely right. When the civilized powers fail, it's dictators who take control. Look at the events of Fallout New Vegas. Look at the rise of the Legion. Look at their confrontation with the NCR. It's a similar kind of situation, except that the NCR didn't necessarily all out fail in that scenario. It's more like these two organizations ran into each other. But both of these are representative of the dynamic that occurs time and time again in our own history. And the writers of the Fallout games understand this. There is always this line between representative governments, the governments of the people, elected by the people, or at least representative of the people in some way, versus dictatorships where an individual seeks to take all the power for themselves and subjugate everyone else underneath them. And of course, that is a very simplified version of the way things go. There are lots of places in between those two far extremes, but that's the dichotomy. That's the way the pendulum swings. Those are the two, I guess, default modes of human governance. And then there are different flavors of each of those. You can have an oligarchy, which is kind of like a dictatorship with groups. You can have a democracy where the people absolutely vote and every vote counts equally the same. Or you can have a republic where people vote, but they vote in people who represent them. And then those are the votes that actually matter more. And yeah, there's a lot more to it. You may also even be able to include something like feudalism or corporations to the way this works. But that's another story for another time. The idea here is that in this situation, the municipal government was something that was supposed to represent the elected leadership and the will of the people, and yet it failed because all it actually did was allow the leadership, and specifically Carla Day, to hide behind her own incompetence. And everybody suffered. She did not do the will of the people. She did not work to provide food, to clean the land and the farmland, to protect the people who would give the rest of the community the things they needed. And because that failed, it created an opportunity for a much more abusive form of government to take root, the mob, who was only interested in themselves. But when you think about it, Carla Day also was only interested in herself. She was interested in keeping her comfy position while not lifting a finger to do anything. So if you're the people, you would think, well, at least the mob's going to do something. But the mob doesn't care about you. They only care about what they can get for themselves. And this led to them taking farmland from farmers, the people of the wasteland, the people of Atlantic City, who are still working on their own property in their own ways to provide for themselves and their families, were being exploited by the mob. And this was equally as terrible. People were still starving. The food and the resources were being acquired by a group who was only interested in themselves, an oligarchy. They were not interested in helping the people. And because of their mismanagement, because they were taking all the food, all the resources for themselves, and not planning ways in order to maintain and create more supply of the things that people needed, they couldn't even sustain themselves. And so they became more and more desperate until they finally decided to try to take the land of Timothy and Frieda Lane. And that was their mistake, because Timothy was not the kind of man who was going to just roll over and let the mob take what they wanted from him or create a situation that was going to destroy the entire community. When they marched onto Timothy Lane's property, Timothy shot back. He killed the entire raiding party from the mob, save one, in order to send a message that he was not about to roll over and let the situation get even worse. He was not going to give up his land. And then he was motivated to do more. Timothy Lane took that situation, that terrible, dire situation, and decided to turn it into something good.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
To actually do something about it. Now, at this point, the mob was actually in control, but Carla Day was still technically the mayor. She had just had acquiesced to all the demands of the mob and had put up no resistance, so they didn't see any need to remove her. So the governmental system was still in place, it just wasn't doing anything. And Timothy knew this. So he decided to take that moment and to march on City Hall. He confronted Mayor Day, and this is where the story gets a little tricky. Supposedly, he confronted Mayor Day and told her to leave the city. But in actuality, in that moment, he ended her life. Now, I, as much as you, realize that murder is generally frowned upon. It's not necessarily a good idea to go around killing people. Every human being has a right to their own autonomy, their own livelihood, their own lives. And to make that decision for somebody else is a step too far. But in this dire situation, Timothy decided that that's what needed to be done. And whether it was right or wrong, it did something to change the situation. Now, you might expect a guy like Timothy, who is willing to shoot up the mob and march on the city hall and kill the mayor, to be somebody who would turn what effectively was an oligarchy into something worse, a dictatorship with him at the top, where he makes decisions for everyone else, regardless of what anyone else says, with only interests for himself. But that's not actually what happened here. Sometimes revolution leads to a new type of government. Sometimes the people who are creating the revolution understand that the situation is untenable, that there is no way, even if they took control for themselves, that they would ultimately survive that. And so Timothy pulled together like-minded citizens and reorganized the government in order for it to actually function in a way that would help Atlantic City survive. Now, Timothy had a secret weapon, and it's not the gun that he used to murder everybody to get them out of his way. It was his wife, Frida. Frida was somebody who had knowledge that other people didn't. Frida was an engineer. She was the reason why their land had not succumbed to the problems of the other farmlands nearby. She was able to make sure that the crops would keep growing. She set things up in a way where they could survive. That's why the mob was coming to their land. They were the last, effectively, farm in the area that was providing food at all. And that sounds extreme, but in this scenario, everything is extreme. Now, when Timothy takes control of the government, the first thing he does is he puts his wife in charge of fixing the farmland. And over 20 years, they systematically work with the people and the rest of the community to not only reorganize the government, but to also clean the land, to create a future for themselves, farmland that works again, crop rotations that will continue to provide food and keep people alive. Now let's take a moment. Imagine you are a commoner, somebody who is just barely getting by, barely surviving on your dying plot of farmland. And you find out that the Lanes have taken control of the government. And not only that, but they aren't going to take your land. They're not going to take what little crops you have left. In fact, they're going to come to you and offer to help you fix your land. In fact, they're promising that if you let Frida take a look at your property and make some changes, that this coming year, your food stores might double. 2 years from now, they could quadruple. You could increase your harvest. You could provide for your family. Those are the kinds of people that you're going to get behind. When the mob marches onto your land to take what little food you have left, you cower and you give it to them and you stress about the next time they're going to visit and if you will have anything left to eat. But when the Lanes show up, you're thankful. You're so thankful that you're willing to then take that information and spread it to your neighbors. You're so thankful that you're willing to take whatever extra time you have in order to participate in this reemergence of the municipal government. You become part of the solution because these are people who are offering to help you. It's a huge change in a world where it seems like every hostility is out to get you, including the people who you used to trust. All of a sudden, you can trust people again. All of a sudden, you can work together and band together to make a better future for you and your family. This is how organizations like local governments are supposed to work. The Lanes understood. They got it. And yet, they didn't have enough power to push back the mob completely. They couldn't fight back everybody, take away all their guns and all their power, police every situation. And there was another group, the showmen, who were also kind of crazy and chaotic and providing entertainment for the people. They were living off on the side as well. So in the situation that you have evolving over those 20 years, you have these three factions, and they learn to kind of live at least with each other in some form of harmony. It's not really harmonic, but it's functional in some ways. The mob hasn't gone away. They're still a problem. The showmen are doing their thing, and the munis are trying to build a better future for Atlantic City. By the year 2105, the munis were so successful in that part of the endeavor that Atlantic City had become one of the most prosperous cities on the East Coast. And that's saying a lot. There are a lot of communities on the East Coast that were suffering. Look at the events in the Capital Wasteland. Look at the events in Appalachia or in Boston. Atlantic City pulled themselves together because of the brave and, well, drastic actions of Timothy and Frieda Lane. In the current version of Atlantic City that we get to visit, there is this weird connection between these three groups. You have the Munis, who have effectively reestablished a local government. They have taxes. They have elections. And because they can't completely get rid of the mob or the showmen, they have these two other groups who, in some ways, provide some benefit to the area. The entertainment that they provide, whether that be, well, the terrible games that the showmen play, which we talked about before, or the casinos that the mob runs, are at least an effective way to bring in people from outside Atlantic City to the community. People who are looking for a vacation or entertainment, something to, well, do outside of just surviving in the wasteland. They're looking for more. And isn't that kind of the case with most modern cities also? We have these cities that are run by these organizations, and yet underneath them, there still are some of these, well, forms of entertainment that placate the population. Atlantic City is no different, even though it's post-war. In some ways, Atlantic City is more like the pre-war cities than any other location that we've yet experienced in the wasteland. Maybe New Vegas could be compared in a similar way, and that kind of makes sense. Both have casinos. Both have, well, forms of government that are striving to represent the people or not, continuing to clash with each other. And I include Mr. House on that list. But if we know anything about the way Fallout works, this is not the end of the story. And war never changes. The situations that we find ourselves in, with governments, with capitalism, with corporations, will just continue to repeat. And sometimes it takes somebody willing to make a difference. So I'll end with this question. Was the violence necessary in a situation like this? And it's a good question. It's something that I struggle with personally. Sometimes violence might be necessary. In this situation, was it? Could Timothy Lane and Frieda Lane have solved the situation if he didn't take things into his own hands and get rid of Carla Day? Did he need to murder her? Or was there something he could have done that didn't stoop that low? It's the Batman conundrum, right? It's the situation where you find yourself in dealing with the Joker, and yet everybody knows if you had just put the Joker out of his misery that you would have saved thousands of lives. And yet Batman can't bring himself to stoop that low, because then he becomes the villain. But in this situation, or in real world situations, is that the case? It's a tough question to answer, and I don't know that there is a simple answer to that question. I'm not saying this in order to promote any specific worldview, by the way. I'm not trying to lean people towards the idea that, yeah, sometimes violence is the right thing to do and we should be violent, or sometimes we should totally avoid violence and we should never do that. This is not a loaded question. This is a genuine question about the way the world works and the nature of dire situations with dire decisions. What do you think?
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest still eager to serve.
So I've decided to put the all this stuff back at the end of the episode. I know I used to do this on previous episodes where I would do the Patreon stuff and the, you know, the reviews at the end of the episode, and people would complain. They'd be like, oh, he cut the episode short, and then he just kind of yammers on about other stuff at the end. So in the middle, for some reason, people didn't complain. But here, you guys know how the show goes. It's been around for 300 plus episodes. I'm just going to take a minute to welcome our new patrons. So welcome to Hornbeard, Andrew S. and Carly M. Thank you for joining, and thank you for your support. I see that Carly got a gifted patron sub, and I appreciate that. Thank you, whoever gifted that to Carly. That is an option now. You can gift subscription. So if that's something you want to give someone, or you would like to ask for a birthday or a celebration of some sort, then go to patreon.com/falloutlorecast. Go check that out. You can get lots of cool stuff over there, including brand new t-shirts and stickers, which came out just like a week or two ago. So go check that out. Also, we have to thank our sentry bots, Germinator and Larry D. Thank you for your support. You get shout outs every week at that tier. And we have two new reviews. I don't believe I talked about this one. This is Lich Rose, who writes, best podcast. I'm not one that normally listens to podcasts, but the Fallout Lorecast by Robots is so fun to listen to. So thanks for that. I think I may have read that in a previous one, but if I didn't, there you go. Maybe you get double readouts. But then we have one from Hornbeard, who also just signed up on the Patreon, who writes, great, 5 stars. This is a great podcast for those wanting to learn more about the lore of Fallout. The community Robots has built is amazing. It makes the wasteland not so lonely. 5 more stars. Thank you so much, Hornbeard. And thank you to everybody who has continued to support the show. You may have noticed that I've been focusing again more on actual lore content and revealing situations and contexts and stuff from the games in a way that is hopefully entertaining to listen to. And I constantly try different formats. So I'm going back to a little bit more of that. And so be ready for that. We'll be covering that. But I'm still going to be mixing in an occasional episode that does some other stuff in order to keep things interesting. So thanks for being here. Thanks for your continued support. And here's to a 2025 of new content for the Fallout Lorecast. And until next time, well, take care of your farms, and when the mob comes, don't let them take your farm. What's the mob doing with your farm? All right, I'll see you next time, and stay safe in the wasteland. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment cause chaos. Use ShipStation instead. From running a business out of your garage to multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating tasks. Plus, you'll get the best shipping rates from global carriers. Calm the chaos with the shipping software that delivers. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.